It's fall. It's a beautiful sunny day. Hope you enjoy it. Glad that you're all here this morning. And for those of you who are visiting, we're just proud that you're with us and invite you back any opportunity that you get to be with us. We are close to retreat. It is November, the second weekend in November, 9, 10, and 11, that Friday evening through Sunday morning. See Mr. Dan. If you don't know who Dan is, when we stand up, look for the tallest one. That's Dan. And let him know so we can get we can have our menu planned. I believe that's $40 for adults, $20 for children, 5 and under free. Is that?
10 and under
free
for 2.
All right.
10 to 2 is
20,
and 2 and under is free.
It's free. 2 and under is free. 3 to 10 is 20, and over that is 40. All right. That'll be good. How old are you, Taylor?
11.
You 11? I was afraid of that. So, but I hope that you'll come. It's always a good time. Tony Holt will be our speaker for our devotional message, and then we'll have time to rest, and we'll have time to eat, and we'll have time to fellowship. We play some games together, and there's a pond there where folks can fish, and we walk, and just it's just a great time to spend a weekend just with each other. Without a lot of interruption. So I hope that you'll, if at all possible, come be a part of that. If you can only make it up on Saturday, talk with us. We'll work that out with you. But if you can come and stay, it would be a great time for you to come and stay with us. We'll have one of our elders pray in just a few moments for us. But I want us to begin with a special prayer this morning. Evan and Amber and Faith. We'll have to be in court in the morning, we're hoping for a positive outcome and make some decisions for them, and I know they're just apprehensive about that, and so we just want to go to God and have a special prayer on their behalf about tomorrow. So let's just pray together. Dear Father, what a beautiful morning that you have blessed us with, and we're thankful to you. Father, as we anticipate the colors of fall and the times of fellowship and of thanksgiving that fall brings, and some laying by of labor. We're just thankful to you, Father. The magnificence of your creation is just overwhelming, Lord, and to know that you are the Creator, the Almighty God, the King of the universe. And Father, we're thankful that you listen to each one of us and that you love us and that you care about us and that you know what's going on in our lives. Father, there are just so many needs today among our congregation, among our friends, among our family, among our community. Father, thank you for not leaving us alone, but for being involved in our lives and making a difference in our lives. And this morning, Father, I especially want to be prayerful for Evan and Amber and for Faith as decisions are made about their family and about them being together. Father, I pray for wisdom for that judge and the decisions that he or she has to make. Father, I pray you be involved and take care of these good folks. Father, I appreciate their hearts and their love for you and their love for one another. And Father, I pray that you bring a peace and a comfort to them. May all of us trust in you more. And Father, I just pray that you be involved. And we just pray the outcome will be where they can be together, Lord, and continue to be a part of our group and a part of our family. And Father, I just pray a very special blessing and again a peace that they might rest and trust in you. And Father, we live by faith and not by sight. So Father, I just trust that you work out what is the very best for everyone involved and for the kingdom, Lord, and help us to trust in you. Father, we know that you sent your one and only Son, the perfect Lamb from heaven, Jesus, and offered him as a sacrifice for us. And we know that you're doing that. There's nothing that you will withhold from us. And that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more you do. And Father, on that we depend. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue on in the book of Acts this morning. We're going to talk about Philip the evangelist. Philip is one of the seven that were selected to distribute to the needs of the widows in the Jerusalem church. And Philip now has scattered, if you will, because of the persecution that's going on in Jerusalem. Remember that? This persecution is going on in Jerusalem. And so Philip is now has now left Jerusalem. And what did we say that all of these individuals were doing? They were spreading the gospel as they went, right? Spreading the gospel as they went. I'm going to read a lot today. Just so you can be prepared, I'm going to read a lot. And that may be most of what we do this morning. But I think it's important that we get these readings and that we set the stage for kind of what's going on. So bear with me, and I'll try to do that in an intelligent way, and so you can enjoy that reading of the Word of God. But I want to read Luke's account from the book of Acts. And this is a story of the Ethiopian eunuch that you may well be familiar with. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury I'm not sure that term, it's not one I saw, it's cut off there. It's the Candake, which is not in my translation, which means Queen of the Ethiopians, or Candace, is how we normally know that, is Candace. Now, I'm just going to, since I kind of fumbled over that, we'll stop here for a moment and we'll talk about what this is. All right, I think it's interesting, and there's just a lot in this passage, it's loaded. So that means we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks on it. Number one, the angel of the Lord is involved in Philip meeting with the Ethiopian eunuch. And we're going to see the Spirit of God is involved in Philip's meeting. But it is an angel who comes to Philip and says, "You need to go to this place." Or he just doesn't happen to be there. There is an angel that is directing what's going on. Because here's a man from Ethiopia who is the treasurer, a man of some prominence, of some position, of some intelligence, who is coming in Jerusalem seeking God. Now, but what is interesting and unique about him is he has come from Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia, as we read about in the Bible, is not necessarily the country of Ethiopia that we see on the map of Africa today. He has come from sub-Saharan Africa, from the southern part of the continent of Africa up to Jerusalem. He has traveled hundreds, thousands of miles to get to Jerusalem, probably by ox cart. I mean, he's not flying. He's not riding a nice bus. He doesn't have a car with GPS and the movie screen in the back. So, I mean, he's having to find places to stay or to camp. And can you just imagine riding on a cart all this way? I mean, we're talking about this is a trek. This is a journey. This is a pilgrimage for him to come to Jerusalem. And he's coming. What's in Jerusalem that's of such importance? The temple, right? The temple is in Jerusalem. So he's making this pilgrim to Jerusalem seeking God. But he's going to come all this way, and he's not going to get inside the temple. Because he is a eunuch, and he's not allowed inside the temple. Okay? So he's making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and he's not going to be allowed in because he is a eunuch. And being from sub-Saharan Africa, he is going to be darker skinned, and his features are going to be a little different than those of the Middle East. And so he's going to face some prejudice when he comes to Jerusalem. So here is a man who is coming to God from a great distance. It is a great distance geographically. It is a great distance for him physically. It is a great distance for him socially. He is a long way from Jerusalem when he starts, and there are lots of barriers to this man coming to God. And we just need to know that. I mean, that's who this man is. Now, let's talk about candidacy is not an individual. Just like if I said Pharaoh, you wouldn't think of one individual, would you? If I said Pharaoh, what would you think? You think of the king or the ruler of Egypt, right? Well, candidacy is the same thing. It is the title of the ruler of Ethiopia. So it would have been over, you know, that was just a title, just like Pharaoh would have been. So this is not one individual named Candace or Candace. This is a position. And he's a treasurer. He is important in that. And he is seeking God. He is literate, which we almost take for granted. But at this time, being literate would have been among the very few. He's literate. And he has access to at least some of the scrolls of the Old Testament, which is unique. Most of us have Bibles. Most of us probably have multiple Bibles. Luckily for me, because I misplace things fairly well, they're just strategically placed all around the house. There's usually one in the car. There's one at my office. There's, I don't know how many in the bedroom. There's some right on the stand by the television. Might even be one in the restroom. Just wherever you might need one, they're there. But as we've talked about, that's a fairly recent phenomenon. Before the printing press, nobody had them, except where they had been translated and they would have been in the church. Right, in the synagogue or later in the church building. That's who would have had them. And then even fairly recently, you know, printing has really taken off where now you can get them. Now they're on our phones, right? They're with us 24 hours a day. You know, we've got access. But in the time of the first century, to have access to a copy, any copy of the text of Scripture was a huge deal. And this man has a copy of the text because he's going to be reading from this text. But here's who this man is. Prominent in his community, but far away from God. And when I say that, not that God is far from him, because Paul will tell us in Acts 17 when we get there that God's not far from any one of us. Not that God doesn't love him. I'm just talking about geographically and socially and in lots of ways, he's a long way from God. But he's making this pilgrimage. You know, for those of you of Family Vacation movie fame, you know, he's coming to Jerusalem to come to the temple, and when he gets there, guess what? It's going to be closed to him. Kind of like whatever that theme part was, and, you know, the Griswolds go off. I mean, he's coming to God from this great distance, maybe knowing, maybe not knowing that his access is going to be limited. But what's going to happen to him? An angel of God, because this man is doing what? What's he doing? I just got to come down for this sermon this morning. It's going to be just, we're just talking. What's the, he's seeking God, right? This man is seeking God, really at a great expense. And when I say that, this would have been a financial expense, but I don't know how much that hurt him. Maybe that wasn't an issue for him. But to take off, it would be like today saying, I want you to go to Vancouver in an ox car. Now, I'm going to give you time off work, and you've got the money to go. But how many are game for that? And I'm not talking, because there's no Holiday Inns or Marriott's or Courtyard by Marriott's, you know, with a good breakfast in the morning. There are none of those along the way. So you're going to have to find places to stay and maybe stay by some. I mean, nobody's game for that. But that's the dedication that this man has as he's on his way. He is dedicated to seeking God. And what does Jesus say? Now, Jesus has already come, right? This is post-resurrection, post-ascension. We're in the book of Acts. The church has been established. What did Jesus say? He who knocks, what will happen? The door will be open. He who seeks will find. Right? So he's seeking, and God knows he's seeking. And so Philip is available, and an angel of the Lord tells Philip to be there. Now, here's something interesting, because that's all Luke tells. I don't know in what form or in what way this angel told Philip to do that. But what does the scripture tell us? That many have entertained angels unaware that they were angels. Now, Philip may have known this, but can they not take on the form of human beings? They absolutely can, because that's what we see by the tree of, by the oaks of Mamre with Abraham. Remember? Those men came to him, but they're angels that come. The angels come and get Peter out of prison. Remember? So I'm not sure what form this is, but an angel is involved in what's going on in the world. It's helped us to realize, and I don't believe this stopped at the, in the first century. There's no indication of that. You know, angels are created beings. They've existed for since before the creation of the world, I believe, and continue to exist. So they're continuing to be active, right? People continue to entertain angels. Wait a minute, we do not know when an angel comes into our lives and makes a difference for us. But this thought, which is almost a deist thought, not a Christian view, but it often permeates our culture today, is that God has set this plan in motion for our eternal salvation. Jesus has ascended to heaven. Jesus is going to return. But while we're here, yes, we can pray, but for the most part, we're kind of on our own to some degree. And lots of Christians kind of hold that view. And we have to be careful not to hold it. And some of us are guilty of holding the view, and I'm with you, and I'm not really fussing, but I'm preaching. Some of us hold the view of, well, God will help me, but only after I have exhausted every possibility, all the knowledge and strength and avenues I have, and if that doesn't get it done, then God will step in. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are guilty of that? Most of us. Maybe all of us at some point. But the view of the scripture is that God cares for people, and very often he is planning and working things that are totally contrary to what seems to be going on. Remember, the brothers sold Joseph into slavery because they hated him. His brothers hated him. They were jealous of him, and Joseph might have been a little bit of a spoiled brat. You know? Yeah, daddy got me special clothes. I got dreams. Guess what's happening in my dreams? Y'all are bowing down to me. Bowing down to you, jerk. I mean, was that... I think that's where we'd be. But they hated him. But here's what God says. That they intended that for evil, but God intended it for good. Right? God works in the lives of his people. And God works in the lives of people to bring out his will. So here's this man coming from Ethiopia, coming from sub-Saharan Africa to Jerusalem, and God realizes he's seeking, and so what does he do? He uses the power that he has, and he brings Philip, he sends Philip on his way to meet this Ethiopian. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on... I'm back to reading, bud. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Again, he's got a copy of the scripture and he's able to read it. So don't miss that. This guy is important and educated. And not that God only seeks the educated, but this man is seeking. He's trying, right? He knows why he's coming. So he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit told Philip, the angel told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? Now, the Spirit works through the Word of God and in other ways and brings us closer. But sometimes we need teachers, right? We need teachers to teach us what we're reading. Because we don't always know the background. We don't always know the context. We don't always know what's going on, right? And we need to be taught. All of us need to be taught. That's why it's important not only that we study, but that we read commentaries from competent scholars. And I'm not opposed to us reading other things, but reading those things that teach us about the Word of God. What's God saying to us? And for those of us who have the opportunity, the ability, and the calling to teach, it's important that we continue to learn so that we can help others, right? Learn what the Scripture says. Because I don't know if anybody in their right mind that ever claimed, I have got this figured out. I have got the whole of Scripture understood. Now, we can understand God's plan, right? Because sometimes we're intimidated about teaching others because we feel like there's so much we don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you had to have complete knowledge to start teaching the Word of God, I just need to go and sit down. But we keep learning and growing and teaching others what we know, right? Not being afraid, if I don't understand something, to ask someone more mature, someone more learned, to help me read, find out, right? That's how we grow. That's how we do other things, isn't it? That's the way you learn other things? Ben, Judge Benny, sitting on the judge in the, on the bench in the morning, do you know everything about the Tennessee Code annotated? Not even close. But does that mean that Ben and all the other, I just pick on Ben because I know he'll tell you, are not qualified to be judged? Absolutely not, because guess what? If he has a situation that he needs to find out more, Ben will recess and go study and find out so he can make a right judgment. Because nobody knows everything. I'm not picking at Ben. I can pick at Ben because Ben does an excellent job. I have a lot of respect for him. If I thought he was weak, I wouldn't have picked on him. You know? But he doesn't. But with wisdom and maturity, he knows what he knows and what he doesn't and where to go find out what he has to know to make the right decision. The same thing as us about studying God's Word, right? We don't know everything, but it's a hunger to find out and to surround ourselves with people and with information to find out more. So we don't know everything, but it's about learning. But we need to help others to learn what, you know, what we know. Because as we make this journey, there's always folks starting on the road behind us, right? And that we help them along. All right, so how can I know unless somebody teaches me what it says? He understood he needed instruction. Is he educated? Yes. Is he arrogant? No. He's willing to learn. How easy is it to teach somebody who thinks they're the smartest person in the room? You're wasting your time, aren't you? How many of you have known folks like that? Like, you know, they know everything. Nothing you can tell them that they don't know more about it than you do. And I mean, that's pretty common for me. Most of the time, they do know more about it than I do. But there are some areas that maybe I know some more or somebody else does that we can learn. But you got to be willing to learn. But what's this man willing to do? He's willing to learn. He's educated. He's powerful. He has position. He got that. He's a high government official. But he's willing to learn and he's seeking God. And that's the heart all of us need. Then Philip asked, how can I? He said, unless someone hears it. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Who knows where that passage is? It's Isaiah chapter 53. Passages we call of the suffering servant. Okay? Isaiah 53. I want to read from Isaiah 54 and 55, and then the lesson will be yours. I'll make a little point, and then we'll pick this back up next week. But I do want to read the passages that are around what he was reading. Come, all ye who are thirsty. Now, what's he doing? He's seeking, right? He is seeking God. And here's what's in the passages around what he's reading in the book of Isaiah. Come, all of you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful, loved promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and the nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for the everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." Let's read that again. Where's this man? He's a long way a foreigner, isn't he? Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let no eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and it will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be His servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, "He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." You're a eunuch who is a foreigner, and you read Isaiah 55 and 56, and what does it say? You're not going to be excluded. You're not going to be left without a heritage, but that God is going to make a place for you. I will give you a heritage and a name. Prophet Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before the Ethiopian comes to Jerusalem. But God hears him and God keeps his promises, doesn't he? Talking about a heritage and a name, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about this Ethiopian eunuch, aren't we? Who came to God. Because Jesus draws all men to himself. God is not a respecter of our nationality, what we look like, the shape of our eyes, or the color of our skin. He doesn't look at us and our physical defects or problems. But God loves all men and calls all of us to Himself. And that the gates of the kingdom are open to all peoples and all nations who will believe in Jesus and draw near to God. Man, if you're that Ethiopian and you read that, you're talking about changing your world and your day. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? That God says there's a place for me. There's a place for all of us at the foot of the cross. There's a place for all of us in the kingdom of God. All who will come, who will cling to God and have faith in His Son.